Good morning again, and turn to Galatians chapter number 6. I'm using my very tiny print Bible this morning, so we'll see how this goes, if I can even find the passage. All right. Galatians chapter 6, and pretty basic message this morning. 3 points make up the sermon title as well. Humble, honest, accountable. So if you're writing sermon titles, if you're taking notes, that's our title. Humble, honest, accountable. This is coming right out of verses 1 and 2, right? We actually only looked at verse 1 last week, but verse 2 goes right along with it. And I covered the idea, even if I didn't lay out the verse in the same way as verse 1. But chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." And we talked about the humility that you ought to have, the gentleness that you ought to have. Meekness there is that same word that's found in the fruit of the Spirit that we talked about and expounded on. And the idea of gentleness, kindness in the manner in which you deal with people. In the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Meekness is in light of your own acknowledgement of your weakness. And so your own temptation to sin. And once you become proud, once you become self-centered, even if you're doing a good thing, like correcting someone, things will fall apart. Okay? And verse 2 follows right along with this idea, this idea of having the right mindset when you're confronting a fault in someone else, in someone else's life. And it's the idea that you're others focused. And in correction and in everything, every interaction that we have with fellow believers, we ought to be considering all of the one another's. There's many, many one another's. But here, it is to bear the burden of one another. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So we have a role in seeing the fruit of the Spirit lived out in other people's lives. Right? The law of Christ. We've talked about how there is no law against the fruit of the Spirit. It's the supreme law, the rule. It's the supreme rule is the fruit of the Spirit. And fulfilling the law of Christ, fulfilling the rule of Christ in the life of a believer includes the correction and includes the acceptance of correction of fellow believers. And so bearing each other's burdens is in mind when we talk about correction, when we talk about gentle restoration. This week's passage is the next three verses, verses 3 through 5. We're going to read this together, Galatians 6, 3 through 5. "For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden." A little bit of a flip, maybe, from what verse 2 is saying, it seems, doesn't it? We're going to walk through this verse by verse. Verse 3 is the first point. Humble. Humble. Be humble. If a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, which he is indeed nothing in and of himself, he deceives himself. the idea of thinking himself to be something is an overestimation of self-worth, an attitude maybe of moral superiority. Historically, in this passage, to the people who this is addressed to specifically, that was indeed a problem, an idea of moral superiority. And that's why the law was used as a type of hammer to rule people, okay? Because of an idea of moral superiority and an overestimation of self-worth. Because if you think that you can fulfill the law, you can obey the law by keeping to all of the ordinances, you know, the 600 or so laws of the Old Testament. If you think that you can adequately follow those, you're overestimating yourself, okay, by a lot. And so don't overestimate your self-worth. In other words, don't look at your fleshly accomplishments and think that they're worth anything in the sight of God. When he is nothing, this will point to this idea of this humility that we ought to have. Scripture makes it clear that there is none righteous, no, not one. Right? Romans 3, quoting from Ecclesiastes, I believe, says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. There is no person who can stand worthy before God on his own merits. And if you understand that about yourself, it's a little bit less of a challenge to be humble, because you realize the reality of your situation. 1 Corinthians 3:7, so then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. So especially when you're in ministry or doing ministering to others, even the idea of working in the ministry and serving other people, the fruit is only going to come by the hand of God as you obey him. And so it's not, even if you don't see results, that verse is kind of pointing out, God is the one who's in charge of the results. And so just do your part, not thinking that you are some great servant of God that's going to accomplish the will of God in the world by your extreme efforts and your skill and your talents, okay? God is the one who's going to give the increase, and grace is absolutely, the grace of God is absolutely necessary for even your ministry to God to be worth anything. Your service to God will be only worth something if God does it through you. And so when you think you're something, when you're nothing, you deceive yourself. Again, the reality of the situation is that you, again, and I want to emphasize this, in and of yourself are not worthy to stand before God. And all the worth that we do have is in the fact that Jesus has done the work, okay? So be humble. Romans 12:3 talks about not thinking of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Proverbs 26:12 says, seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. 1 Corinthians 8:2 says, if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. And James 4 and 1 Peter 5 use a command to say this, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. 1 Peter 3 or 1 Peter 5, 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So any type of exaltation, any type of promotion that you might have, even in the good things, like ministry and service, are by the hand of God. And they come after humbling yourself before him and submitting yourself to him. Humble yourself. Have a sober view of your abilities. And verse 1, reminds us to consider ourselves, lest thou also be tempted because of this very fact. There's a risk of disqualification of, you know, helping someone if it's not done in meekness. And I talked about last time about the fact that you can have the greatest, you know, you can have the greatest advice, you can have the greatest counsel, but if it's done in the wrong way, then it's going to mean nothing. And the idea that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, that's true. Okay. And you're not going to be used by God if you're self-centered, if you're self-promotional in your service. Churches fracture when people compare themselves and elevate their own morality. Pride, I would say, is probably the sole reason that churches break up. And God has a strong view on pride and a lack of humility. So be humble. Be humble. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. If a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Verse 4 is the second point. Honest. Number 1, be humble. Number 2, be honest. It says, let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. The idea of proving is the idea of testing or examining or verifying the genuineness of something. This is a call for self-examination under the light of God's word. Always go back to the word of God in looking at your ministry, at your service, even at your walk with God. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, prove all things or test all things. Hold fast that which is good. There's a process involved in examining yourself, examining your work, examining what you do, and also what's taught and what you read. Test it. Test it against the word of God and hold fast to the good stuff. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not that your own selves, how that Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Prove the genuineness of what you say, of what you preach, of what you believe, quote unquote. Test it. Let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself. The words there, have rejoicing in himself alone. We're not talking about a self-glorification, but we're talking about what happens in a legitimate spiritual walk. your walk with God is your own, and it can only be your own. It can't be your parents. It can't be your mentor's walk. It can't be your teacher's walk. It can't be your pastor. It can't be your pastor's walk. It can only be your walk. So test, prove, and then have rejoicing. A legitimate walk with God, a legitimate spiritual attitude and spirit dependence will result in this type of joy. And it's not from a comparison to other people, okay? Then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. There's not a contest here in this spiritual walk with God. In fact, when it begins to look like a contest, that is proof that pride is getting involved and things are about to fall apart rather tragically. And when you compare yourself among yourselves, you're not being wise, the Bible says. And it causes arrogance on the one hand or despair on the other. And you will have rejoicing in yourself alone and not in another when you truly walk with him. And why coming off of, you know, what we just said from verses 1 and 2. Why does it seem like such a flip? Doesn't it seem like such a flip? Like, if someone else is sinning, if someone else has a fault, an area that they need correction in, some error in their life, if you're walking spiritually, it says, put out a helping hand of restoration. Help them. Bear each other's burdens. Seems a little bit like a flip from this. This seems like a little bit of a flip from this, doesn't it? Okay, be others focused. And then verses 3 through 5 is like, make sure you're self-focused. Is that what it's saying? It almost seems like that. And here's why. Because a lot of times, we are well-intentioned, and we do do the right thing in reaching out to someone, in helping someone, but we're doing that in place of our own personal walk with God. Okay? For me to stand up here and preach and teach and help other people and serve other people, and do ministry, for me to do all those things is not the same as me having a walk with God. It's not the same thing as me meeting with God in the morning, opening up my Bible, letting the Holy Spirit work in my heart, work in my life, work in my mind. It's not a replacement. It can't be. Being a spiritual leader in your home, as a father, as a mother, just serving is not a replacement for a deep and personal and abiding relationship with God for yourself. In fact, the one can't happen effectively without the other. You're not going to have the type of impact that God wants you to have if you're not meeting with him on a deep and personal level yourself. And you can't think that You know, I'm reminded of when Jesus says that many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. You know what? You know where I'm driving at, right? What will he say to them? Depart from me, I never knew you. People are going to look very successful in ministry. It's just, that's going to happen, even in the cases where they don't have a personal walk with God. Even in the cases where they're not humble before God, where they're not honest with God about their walk, when they're not thinking about Judgment Day and the accountability that will come when you stand before him, there's going to be successful looking ministers that don't have a walk with God. And this is why you're called to test the genuineness of what you're doing and self-examine in light of the Word of God and to, in the words of the psalmist in Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart, and see if there be any wicked way in me. That's why we're supposed to come to the Word of God, as James points out, and see in it a mirror of ourselves and our fault, our own faults and of our own problems, and to let that change us. Let that be the gauge of our lives. Let that be the measuring stick. This only comes by a personal, an honest, a genuine, maybe is a better word, walk with the Lord, personal walk with the Lord. And many, many times people mistake service and ministry for walking with God. Don't do that. Walking with God ought to be your own, ought to be yours. You ought to own it. It ought to be deep. If you're comparing your righteousness to others, that's not happening. If your joy or your confidence is coming from your performance, that's not happening. And so the call to Spirit-filled living is not a surface-level thing, is the point. It's not surface-level. Let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Having a fulfilling, joyful walk with the Lord is something that only you can do, and it's something that that will only be between you and God. And it will result in being able to do things, the things like verses 1 through 2 point out, helping us correct another person in their error, and so on and so forth. And then verse 5 is point number 3, our final point, accountable. A short statement. It says, for every man shall bear his own burdens, or shall bear his own burden. Every man shall bear his own burden. Burden here is a different word than you find in verse 2, bearing one another's burden. It's kind of the same idea, but we're talking about a personal load. Think like a soldier's pack, or a daily duty that you might have. Bearing each other's burdens, i.e. their moral failings, their struggles, helping them in that way, proceeds out of our own bearing our burden or recognizing our own accountability before God on Judgment Day. Okay. Romans 14, 12 says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Every one of us will stand before God and explain ourselves. And many, many things we'll not be able to have a good explanation for, but there will be that kind of accountability. And of course, it'll all be under the blood, and God will reward the fruitful things in your life, and you won't be judged for the unfruitful things, but those unfruitful things will be judged. But everyone will give an account of himself to God. 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Do you think about that day very often? It ought not to be some sort of burden that's weighing you down and carrying, you know, and just discouraging you or something. Because remember the words of Jesus in Matthew 11, verse 30, when he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek, gentle, and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. The idea that that you carry a personal load of accountability before God is just the idea that you have a responsibility to walk with God. You have a responsibility to give it all to Him, right? That's as heavy as your load is. Give it to Him. And you will not answer for someone else's life at the judgment seat. You'll answer for your own. And the idea of the community that we have with each other in Christ is supposed to enhance this accountability. It's not supposed to take it away. So, for example, when the correction of verses 1 and 2 happens in the life of someone, it's because of this fact. Each one of us will give an account of himself before God. So, stop slacking, right? That's our encouragement to each other. And this is an area in your life because, hey, you're going to be accountable before God. But I'm here as your brother to help you realize that and to help you, to help foster a walk with God and to restore, help you restore a walk with God, help you restore spirit-filled living and to help highlight where humility needs to happen. Help you examine yourself before God. And so there's a both and about this bearing each other's burdens, but also bearing your own burden. And it's a community thing, but it's a personal thing. And so the question is, are you proud in any area of your life, especially in the context here of this passage, of any spiritual successes in your life or ministry successes? Cognitive successes or whatever. Is there something that you're allowing to puff you up? Are you examining your life through the lens of Scripture and the Spirit? Is your walk genuine? Are you allowing the Spirit to reveal things to you personally that convict you and not another. Right? Are you reading your Bible and come across this great hard-hitting verse or passage or whatever and think, oh, that would be good for so-and-so? Or are you letting it affect you? And then finally, thinking about this whole section together, are you carrying your God-assigned responsibilities to others in your own personal walk with God, or are you shirking them? Are you allowing yourself to stay comfortable? Are you allowing yourself to just coast, to let the walk be easy, instead of intentional, instead of focused? You know, the idea of chapter 5, at the end of the chapter, when it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And the word walk in the Spirit, that word in the Greek is stoicheo, which is an idea of one step after the other, not stopping. Like an engine, a well-tuned engine will run. Is that how your walk? Is that how you're striving for your walk to be with God? And so, are you intentional about that? Do you take that seriously? Do you take the growth, your personal growth seriously? Are you asking other people, hey, how has God been working in your life recently? Here's how he's been working in mine. This is the kind of attitude, this is the kind of seriousness that we ought to have, because every man shall bear his own burden. Each one of us will give an account of himself before God. And it's not just that day that you'll give an account for your own personal life, but also you have to think you'll give an account for the fact, for all the things that God couldn't use you in because you were self-focused and because you didn't have your own personal walk with God, and all the things you missed out on in serving him. And so this is a big responsibility. So what's the call to you today? Be humble, be genuine, and recognize the accountability that is will be in your life, but also the accountability that you have before each other, to serve each other. This is the gospel lived out. This is the good news of your salvation lived out. This is what working out your own salvation with fear and trembling is. It is pursuing that walk so that your service to God, so that your relationship, your personal, close relationship with God can be what it's meant to be. And I hope that you pray for that and you strive for that every single day. Let's pray.